the topic for tonight's show, Expect the Unexpected, Cutting Through the Matrix, with Hepzibah's very special guest tonight, Alan Watt, researcher and author.
And how could we not say very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are tonight and when you're listening, I hope that you very quickly take the sand out of your ears, if you had your head in the sand, like the ostriches, because tonight you might feel that your feathers might be a little bit ruffled. If not, shook up and get the sand out of your eyes as well, because this is a wake-up call again from our friend. And of course, there is no greater bar to knowledge than, of course, contempt prior to examination. Or, well, there are those who do not want to be in the know, and when it is too late, like in World War II, they said, how come? How come we didn't know about it? How come? Well, it wasn't that you didn't know about it. You were just a bunch of ostriches with your head in the sand. And because of it, we warned you, we called you, called your friends, neighbors, your family, wherever they may be, because this is the person you ought to listen to. Hi, Alan.
How are you?
How are you, sweetie? And you know, of course, many people, they respect you tremendously, and we hope that the people out there in our internet radio land, wherever they are listening or wherever they are, and we do not ask, we have had some people from far, far away say, boy, Alan, he is surely in the know. Well, let us see whether they are able to handle the rest of the story, Alan, as we go on educating, offering wisdom, empowerment to these people. And that is, of course, a different story, isn't it? By saying, okay, let's cut through the matrix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing to understand it. Many people hear it and almost shelve it to the side.
Do you think that is fear?
I think it's partly fear. There's also a choice involved, because they know that if they really start to question the reality that they've been given, they don't know where it might lead. And that frightens them, because they've been trained from school and from birth, really, to be good followers to the experts who run the world. And they want to be Peter Pan's forever. They want to live successful children,
mm-hmm.
Rather than face things for themselves, stand on their own two feet, and help create their own and shape their own destiny.
Well, isn't it, Alan, when you say this, sweetie, isn't it so that the New Age community had a tremendous amount to do with rocking these people to sleep? Why don't you explain that to people?
Yes, I think people should understand that for many thousands of years there have been priesthoods coming down through those thousands of years with knowledge of control and control over the minds of the people, and it's a science. It's an exact science. And even the modern leaders today, even Gorbachev admits that they must have a new religion for the new age, the new world coming in. And so religions had always been used. So they began this big push to create the new age religion, really stemming from Britain, in a sense, or London, big time with Madame Blavatsky, who was put out there to kick it off.
Yeah.
And she was given a Masonic charter by the Grand Lodge of England.
Kutumi was the man that paid her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was well paid and very theatrical, a natural actress, really. And the idea of the British elite at that time was they're always looking ahead to the future, you see. And they knew that one day they'd bring in India as part of the British Empire, and they wanted a united empire, seamless, without borders, ultimately. because Adam Weishaupt set up the Illuminati, who was just another branch of the old priesthood. Adam Weishaupt said that the best way to attract members into his society was to create intrigue and mystery, and that would draw them in, you see. And sure enough, people were drawn in by the thousands into theosophy, hoping to get secrets and gain powers, never knowing there was another agenda behind all of this, of course, that was to form a new type of mind control.
Yeah.
And also to bring in a new caste system for a new age, which would begin in the 21st century. And that's what we're seeing now. Aldous Huxley, who worked for the British government, and Tavistock Institute, the big think tank for mind control, that's where all our main mind control techniques today are marketed from, is the Tavistock Institute. Huxley, who wrote A Brave New World in the 1930s, he was talking about creating new types genetically for specific purposes. He thought it was a great idea, and he also admitted he would need a new religion to go with it. And we're seeing it emerge. And he said the next system would be a sort of caste system,
mm-hmm.
where you have a dominant elite at the top, with the dominant scientific elite beneath them,
yeah.
running everything, and then a bureaucracy of experts running the workers who would be purpose-made for their jobs genetically. So this was all, this was back to Blavatsky. That's how they kicked it off, the New Age. And they would disable any comeback, any intelligence, true intelligence coming out about their plan.
Uh-huh.
They would disable it by putting out people into the public to create mystery and confusion. And they would work for MI5 and MI6. And they're still doing it today. They create big heroes to come out to the public, push all the New Age stuff, and then they disable their minds by ultimately leading them on a merry dance and telling them, well, nothing's real anyway.
Yeah, but
you don't
also
have to worry about anything. Your body isn't real. If you're having sex with people, it's not real either. It's just two illusions coming together. And that's classic Hinduism, where the lower caste in the Hindu would sit in their village as the warlords came in, and they were trained that nothing's real. And so husbands would watch their wives being slaughtered, wives would watch their children being slaughtered, and they're all impassive because they've been trained that nothing was real. This is where the gurus have been sent out from London,
yep.
England, have brought the New Age today. They have been effectively neutralized or disabled from participating in creating destiny.
Yeah, but why don't we tell the people that we have these people who, and you know, it is how shall you say, mind-boggling, because they say, oh, you know, something happens and I don't like it. I go into the other dimension.
Yeah.
And I ask them, show me the dimension you go into. Where do you take your body? Well, I am learning that. And, of course, we know that they are now wanting to learn about how they can be like elves. You know, they
yeah.
have to. You know, it's just so sad, but there's something else that I find very ominous. When we have very soon the mayors for peace in Vancouver, they are aiming for peace in 2020. Well, they don't have to aim, because by then, if the people at large do not wake up and get with it, there will be not enough people to make war left on the planet.
Yes, in fact, they'll have their brain chips before then, so there won't be anyone to even think as an individual except the dominant elite. And so that's way too late for the majority of the public. The elite want their program really underway by 2010, and that's Arthur C. Clarke, the High Mason, who wrote the second movie, 2010, when a new sun would be given to the sky, meaning as above, so below, a new... This after a crisis and a definite depopulation program, because they said there's way too many people, but they don't need it anymore. And it's coming from the United Nations Population Control Council and the Audubon Wildlife Society, headed by Prince Philip. and a whole bunch of other big organizations, and the Rockefeller Foundation, of course, telling us there's too many people, they've got to bring us down by all means possible. People forget that Mr. Kissinger, when Nixon was in, Kissinger did a survey report, and he put down that the number one threat to the nation was overpopulation, and then they put the money forward to create the autoimmune disease, which became known as AIDS. That was created in the United States laboratories.
Yeah.
So they have been bringing down the population. They just want to step up the process now.
But they have brought down the world population and are bringing down the population very much so, in such a scientific, horrific manner, that if you have not the right skin tone, you are not the right, First Nations, African Americans, India, shall we go, all the people they think are not contributing enough by buying enough of their crap, people that are maybe 60 or 65 and get rid of them because they are now costing money. And then as we well know, you and I, soon it will be that the people will have to pay for the air they breathe, never mind the water they drink.
That's right, that they're going to tax every single thing. NASA has already, I think, Popular Science or Popular Mechanics, they did an expose on the microchips contained within the astronaut suits, space suits, and these could monitor their heart, their pulse, their blood pressure, everything, all changes within the body and the respiration, the respiratory rate. So once you get a chip in you, and that's coming, they can literally tax you for using the air that you breathe. And the King James of the King James Bible, the Greek, you know, that's the one that Jesus read, you know? King James,
Do you really buy the Jesus stuff? I don't. Because there was Zarathustra they talked about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All the Christians today say that that's the book that Jesus read was the King James Version.
Yeah, but it didn't exist then.
Yeah, I know.
you know, when these people are sitting there and they say, what are they talking about? But the people know that the King James wasn't created until, what was it?
That's the one that Jesus read.
Yeah.
It's the only one you can read. But the King James wanted so much taxation of the war because of the wars he wanted to go and fight. Or send men off to go and fight. He didn't want to fight them himself. He was too busy chasing the page boys. And he actually put a tax on windows, window panes, how many window panes you had in a window, and if the window could open and close. And so they called it the light tax and the fresh air tax. That's what they called it back in the 1500s. So what the people did was to start bricking up their windows rather than pay the taxes, and you still see these in the old houses today where they tried to cut back on their taxes by bricking up the windows. So this is not far-fetched at all, that you'll be taxed on the air that you breathe, you know.
When you say that, but didn't they test that out with the space suits when they sent these people in space? They tested out how much fluid the person drank, how much the person ate, what they ate, of course, lots of it are all horrible chemical crap, but also how much air they did breathe. So when they're going to tax people, they're going to say, well, you know, you breathe this much air, and, you're going to pay for it.
That's right. As I say, they'll probably make an exception for the sports figures, because they've got to keep sports going to keep us all busy, watching nothing, really. So there'll be an exemption for them, but maybe if we start running too fast, they'll start to tax us extra. Or maybe they'll allocate us so many breaths per day. And an automatic shut-off if you go over the limit.
Yeah. Alan, let us take a look at the people who were the first ones that are, and of course we know they have had descendants and descendants, but we know, of course, that it all started during the time in Rome. We had the Romans, Opus Dei, right?
Yeah.
And we had the high masons, which people think it is the Little Blue Lodges, but these people in the Little Blue Lodges know nothing, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of dummies.
Yeah, they don't understand it at all. As I say, what's interesting in religion is that in all times they give you one main one, which contains generally all of the mysteries within that one church. And the Catholic Church really inherited all the mysteries that pre-existed it, and they merged them in and hid them, of course.
Did you think they inherited, or do you think they murdered, slaughtered, and took?
Oh, you know that they did that. I mean, Constantine sent his armies out to scour the hillsides everywhere. In fact, even the hermits were getting killed off when they understood things. And so, yeah, there was a massive culling going on.
Yeah, but King Constantine wasn't Christian until 3 days after he had croaked.
Yeah, that's right. He was a posthumous Christian.
A posthumous?
Yeah, posthumous, yeah.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you realize, you see, the Catholic Church has immense powers. They can interfere on anyone's behalf and intercede and restore anybody into the good books after they're dead. All the Pope has to do is to make it so.
Yeah, of course, after Mother Teresa raised all these millions and millions of dollars when she died, $5 million went to Vatican I said, but he raised that money for the poor people in India.
Yeah.
What's the matter? And now they declare her a saint because they cashed in?
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. What she was actually saying, she was talking Latin, you see. And India means in God for the Vatican. You see, that's what the word means, Dea, is God. So she's really talking the Latin, and people misunderstood her. They thought it was going to India, you see. That's what it was. Yeah.
So let's go back to when, we had them when they came into Bio, because the original founders were the Piso family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's go from the Piso family to today, because the Masons, they were then not called Masons, they were called different in those days. And then, of course, we had, of course, Rome, when they were creating their Christianity religion, because they went and sent out the black friars, actually, that are today the Jesuits. They called them black monks. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they sent them out, and of course they went in Persia, and they murdered, slaughtered, and tortured. And then in Alexandria, they burned down the Library of Alexandria. And if people don't want to know it or learn about it, they also have to grow up and study about Zarathustra, and then they also have to realize that Rome tried to change the dates of his existence of the planet 5 different times, with the end result we have now 5 different dates for the common people who don't know when he really was upon the planet. But then also that was at the same time when they used their great mystery education to start the so-called higher Masonic knowledge, right?
Yeah, well, going back to the Piso family, people realize the Piso family and a couple of other ones, see, they were the Rockefellers of their day. It was a big thing. They ran the NGO groups, you see, which would push all the system through. And the Piso family and others were really, even in those days, they were multi-millionaires. And they had the trading routes and the merchandising routes all over the ancient world, and they financed into being all the building of all the churches, and
as an investment.
Yes. I'm sure it was a good investment in its day. It's a going concern.
But when I did hear from one of the high Masons before he passed away, he said there was no organization that was so expensive as belonging to the high Masonry.
Yes.
And of course, this man was not a Blue Lodge either. And before he passed away, he sat down with me and he talked about what took place and how he never had could have gotten out because he was a MacDonald and his ancestors were from Scotland in Masonry for so many generations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he felt he couldn't get out.
Yeah, they've taken so many oaths. Not only that, they've been into so many shady deals.
Oh?
You see, they all get access to a lot of things in society which the general public don't get access to. They get a lot of freebies. They get off with, they can get out of courts. In fact, they don't even have to appear in courts. They're high enough. And people don't realize this, that the court system and this what's called the democratic country,
mm-hmm.
And it's in all democracies, and this was back to the times of the Normans, which brought this in really into Europe big time. After the missionaries had softened up the heads of the people, and they brought in a system where you cannot be tried except by a jury of your peers.
That means
you're equals. So if you are belonging to a high order, which goes into the nobility orders, then the ordinary people cannot sit and judge you. So you don't appear, they can't judge you, and so you cannot be judged in a normal common court, the common court they call it. You're not a commoner anymore. Now the low-grade Masons, they might have to appear, and even the common courts are Masonic temples. I don't think people realize they are Masonic temples. And the whole formula inside the court is run on Masonic ritual. With the word sheriff, the sheriff's clerk, the sheriff comes from Sharif. How did that get into the English language?
Yeah.
And of course, you go into the dock where the sheep go. You put them up in the dock.
The sheeple.
Yeah, that's where you use to dock their tail. And of course, the dock is also where you bring a ship into. Then you close the dock gate, and that's a quarantined. It's all Masonic. The judge sits up on his tier up there in the black cloak, and he represents the god Saturn, because that's the god behind the old god is Kronos Saturn, and that's the lawbringer, you see. He wears black. And then, of course, in the British Commonwealth countries, he wears a wig. So he's a man wearing a wig, dressed in women's clothes, and we're supposed to take this seriously. I mean, that's just amazing.
So he was a transvestite.
Yes. It's fascinating to think about how we're all trained to be something which you would expect on some vaudeville stage somewhere in a previous century, a guy dressed like a woman. And he's a guy, and the judge has the longest wig of all, you know. The attorneys are solicited.
Well, wouldn't he then represent Mithra or the Black Madonna?
Oh, he's all of it. Yeah, he's got a bit of all of it there. And I think if you might see under, I know in England there's always scandals breaking out with high court judges. And I can remember one of them was caught, he was found dead in his room.
Ooh.
He was dressed in women's suspenders and women's lipstick. And apparently the sect of them were into an odd phenomenon where they would cut off their breasts and somehow this gave them a high, you know. And he tried to sort of partly hang himself to an extent, but the chair he was on gave way and he actually hung himself. So there was a high court judge hung wearing a woman's bra, woman's panties and suspenders, and that's the sort of people who are dressed up in black gowns, ladies' dresses, wearing wigs. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know.
No, so he was a confused transvestite.
Well, maybe he was a true Saturnalian. I mean, who knows? You know, it's an odd thing in all these so-called mystery religions coming even through the Catholic, well, definitely through the Catholic Church.
Well, the Catholic Church course, we don't have to question. You all wear dresses, and they wear red Prada shoes.
Yeah. For
goodness sake, you know, how much open can you have it when he had the dress on to mid-calf, you know?
And here's the, I think the New Agers should understand. Now, if you go into the old ancient orders of Rome, pre-Christian Rome,
mm-hmm.
Their elite had the equestrian order, the knighted order, who rode the horses. And they, strangely enough, they had their initiations in a field very much like the Old Testament. They had an open, no roof on the tent. They held their ceremonies at night, and the initiate did actually have sex with the, what would be called today, the Grand Master. That was a standard thing right through it. They were all given a golden ring in as a token of that night, and that was called, and this is a play on the word, which, you think about it, is called the rite of passage.
Ah.
You understand what that means.
Now, you see, I think our people around the world who are listening are coming in the clear. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening, and of course, I can't help but laugh. Because, you know, men in women's clothing and cutting off their breasts, you know, bunch of idiots. Well, anyway, cutting through, number one, the androgynous hermaphroditic agenda. Cutting through, two, a glimpse into the great work. Cutting through, three, esoteric unveil and the meaning of revelations. In the high Masonic tradition, our guest is Alan Watt, researcher and author. His website, www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Each of his fabulous books, $25, payable in international postal money order, which is available at your post office wherever you are. Contact. You can write to Alan at Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, Canada, P3E4N1. You can contact through webmaster at alanwattcuttingthrough@yahoo.com. And we are wanting you to definitely tonight really to come to a place of understanding that you have been had. And if you don't shake your feathers and take your head out of the sand, wipe your eyes out, listen, grasp for breath, and say, how could we have been fooled and tricked for so many, many, many generations? Is it because the people were kept stupid, and when the people became smart, we had the Grand Inquisition taking place of slaughtering and murdering the intelligent, the wise, and the ones who spoke up, whether it were men or women, their books were burned, they were declared to be witches, because these were the people that came into the know, were into the know, and didn't agree because they kept the people stupid. Don't believe that this world couldn't read until recently. Don't believe that the people were not educated before. There's so much evidence that you have been had. And, of course, we also know it wasn't a meteor that destroyed Atlantis. Let us be in the know, shake our feathers, and start anew. Listen to Alan, and Alan is going to explain to you the connection from Rome, you know, that one with the Prada shoes and the Santa hat and the short skirts and the toy boy kind of fellow who wears Gucci shoes. Oh, yeah, didn't they have a out of poverty, Alan?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's pathetic to see the riches. In fact, there's a good video people should try and get a hold of, and I think it's called Sister Wendy's Art Tour, and she goes to Rome as a nun, and she goes through some of the Vatican art gallery treasures. And these are originals of all the famous artists down through the ages. And you're looking at incredible wealth and in the statues and so on, with original artists made. It's just phenomenal, the money that's poured into that little place there. And what's underneath it, of course, is another story. Here's another thing people should realize, talking about a continuous thread of priesthoods down through the ages. Now, underneath the Vatican, they built it on a spot where there are this riddled with labyrinths. And everyone's heard about the labyrinths that the Christians went into and so on. And realized, too, that the first Christians were a type of Masonic sect because they had their passwords and everything because of the persecution. And they had signs, tokens, they had handshakes and all the rest of it to recognize each other. But those labyrinths were not built by the Romans, even. They pre-existed the Romans, and they were built by a people called the Etruscans. And the Etruscans were the master builders of a previous age. They came up into Rome. The history books would have you that say that were sort of assimilated with the Romans. But the Etruscans had the sciences of the ages. And if you look into the old history books, you'll find that the emperors of Rome, when Rome took over, they had these great festivals, and on the festival day, they capped it off by bringing out the Etruscans, or the priesthood of the Etruscans, who had a trick of calling fire down from heaven, and they would do this openly in a clear blue sky, and no one could figure out how this was done, and yet they could do it every time, you know. So you're talking about ancient sciences here that were hidden from the public, but well understood by very secretive priesthoods. So eventually, and they built all the labyrinths, as I say, under Rome and beyond Rome, in fact.
You know, the thing is, Alan, you know that we had someone who asked us today, or the day before yesterday, whatever, with so many letters and stuff comes here. And this one said, oh, please, thank you for your letter of interest, if I please may. And it says here, Rome is Mithra, so too are the high Masonic Mithra, although not the Blue Lodges, as they are stepping stones like the little churches with preachers and congregations who know no different. Yes, the story of the blood of Christ was derived from Mithra. Yes, a Mithra is blood also. In ancient times, people believed that if you drank blood from someone, you received their life force and captured their soul. Hence the murders of so many of under the age of 14. Thus came the secret societies and their rituals also to the fore. The beings who lead these societies are not totally human. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, yeah. Just it's on the basis of this that you can't relate to them on any human quality. They're anti-human, to say the least. They have no compassion. And now, normal human beings must have compassion to be a human being. And these people are ultimate psychopaths in a sense. There's something missing in their brain because they can do the most horrendous things and have no guilt at all, and they don't need tranquilizers or pills or sleeping pills. You'd have to class them as a separate species, you know.
Would you think, you know, because this was my response to the letter, that when we look at what is taking place, Mitra was built with the long-awaited hullabaloo. The story of Christ is a fabrication, a fairy tale derived from the story of Zarathustra. Even all of today's Zarathustrians are not necessarily aware of the ancient background and dating of Zarathustra's existence, even in their beliefs. Rome tried to infiltrate their Mitraism into Zarathustrianism, but Zarathustrian predates Rome and goes back to the Atlantean times about 9,000 to 10,000 years ago. Then it says here, and I warned this person to wake up and pull their head out of the sand to listen to you tonight. I have long forewarned you are on the verge of being forced into a one-world religion under new world order that will bring together Christianity in its various forms, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, and Masonic Mitraism. Many of the Hebrews who discover the agenda will refuse. I have also long forewarned that holographic images will be generated from satellites of the Jesus, Mary, etc. figures in order to stir up and control the masses. They will even project demons running on the streets. Evidence of these types of images are already manifesting in the world and in the United States. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've listened to some of the reports that come out. But and more than that, I saw one of these holographic images being projected in the sky one night. And in Ontario here, I was walking my dog about 1 in the morning, and I stopped and had a witness with me.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this, the northern lights appear, as always, and then a strange formation. It all seemed to congregate in one area. And as I watched it, well, for 20 minutes, it formed the sort of body of a person with two wings on it, perfectly shaped, and no clear features of the face or anything. But the northern lights cannot stand still.
No.
And yet it was all sweeping towards it, and it was at least 20 minutes. Then the next night, I tuned into the Grand Fakir of all pop radio shows, the Mason Bell.
Yeah, 33rd degree Mason plus.
Yes, oh yeah. Who admits that he had CIA clearance. You always find the same story with these guys. And who create a nice circus to blend truth with fiction until the truth becomes part of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy from southern Ontario phoned in and said that he'd seen this very thing that I saw. And Art Bell, who gets all these weird calls from guys who talk to the devil and stuff like that, who are the devil, in fact, and he let them talk. Well, he cut this guy off.
Oh.
And said, that's crazy, that's silly. And I thought, why is he so upset about that? And because
he got caught.
He got caught, yeah. And that was a definite holographic image. There's no other way to explain it, yeah.
So, you know, when we look at it, because many, many people do not understand that many of these people have come to a place that they have no longer an awareness, or maybe never had, that they are what one person said who lived in England in the palace said, you haven't got a clue. They say they are recycled. And I said, well, why would you say that? And they said, well, Princess Diana believed they were recycled, these from the Masonic line of the British Royal House. I said, well, I don't know. But what I do know is that people out of these little lodges, out of these blue lodges, are like people out of little country churches. The preacher doesn't know anything. And he went to some Bible courses, and he got his degree, and he never really studied what he was giving to the people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if he did,
mm-hmm.
he would not stand for it and would say to people, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to give this to you because it's full of holes. And definitely, Revelation, isn't that a roadmap that they are using for future events?
Yeah, it's a plan, and it's a plan. And that's what I'm saying. You never, when you reveal something, you reveal a plan. It's not a prophecy. You reveal plans, but you prophesy prophecies. And that's the plan. And of course, it's a stellar plan according to the zodiac. Everything in it is zodiacal. And right down to Aquarius and so on, and the numbers that they use in it too, are all from constellations. The heavenly host, of course, of the majority of stars, etc. And it's a whole bunch of meanings contained within the English language, because even the Holy Ghost, G is the graft on one level of the meaning of G in the compass. To tell the old Masons, it means God. And then you have Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And then, of course, up you get graft. Now, graft is a higher order, because then what you do with plants, if you graft one onto another plant, it's called a cutting. They call it a scion. Very interesting word.
Mm-hmm.
So the spoken word here is B-I-O-N, but it's spoken as scion. So you're grafted to the tree of life. So you have that G for graft. And then, of course, you have the G for the gene. And Genesis is the gene of Isis. So these are all the different meanings of the G within the compass of Freemasonry. This is all connected with revelations, where they're taking us. And again, the grand or great work, another meaning for the G, the great work. The grafting to the Holy Ghost is G, grafting to the host, the person. That's what it means. The whole language is created methodically. You've got to realize that revelations is a revealing of a plan. Now, the definition of revealing in any dictionary will tell you it means to explain by revealing. It comes from veil, to veil something, to cover. So as you're explaining a meaning, you're recovering its real meaning. It's very complicated in a sense, but that's what revelations mean. It's revealing, recovering. So the initiates understand the meanings, but the rest of the public get the exoteric meaning, and that's why they still fight each other over the meanings in churches today. They're all fighting over the minute points, and that's why in the mystery religions, they themselves always depict the preacher as a donkey or an ass with the cloak of learning on him. And meaning he is an ass, the exoteric people do not understand.
When you say that, and if there are any of these people out there around the globe who are, shall we say, Masonic, or as we know somewhere, there's a priest listening to this, and this priest said, you know, he was on the verge of leaving the House of Rome, as he calls it, and he says, you know, I've learned so much. He says, I'm ready to step out of it. Well, I hope that this will help him, because he said he knew a lot, but he didn't understand where it all fitted together.
Yeah.
Because he knew that there were, and he said, I know for a fact there are priests, Jesuits, that are members in the Masonic lodges and get dressed up in a common dark suit and go to the lodge. I said, they tried to explain that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jesuits are involved in everything, really. There's no doubt about it. Masonry, as it's known today, had to have come from out of the Catholic Church itself.
Yeah.
They were the only ones with the knowledge of these mysteries and knew how to reintroduce them in a mysterious fashion to suck in the members. And what it is at the low orders is a filtering system. It acts as a charitable shield. It's hard to attack a charity, you see. So they have these guys at the bottom who don't know much at all. And even Albert Pike, who wrote Morals and Dogma, the Grand Pope of Masonry, said that the lower Mason is no different than the rest of the profane. So he makes a good shield of charity. And, of course, that is defense for a charitable organization to do good works. But it's also a sifting device where they can get people, like people who have been grouped
that the nuns and there's a difference there too with nuns from very wealthy families.
Yeah.
They have a good life there, but the ones that come from poor families, like priests that come from poor families, they have a rough life because they get told constantly that they need to raise money.
Oh, always. Uh-huh. And they also take the heat from the public.
Yeah.
I know that in Britain, you see, during the 30s and 40s, I mean, Britain was in a depression really all the time through, from World War One right down. And people mainly kept their red money on the mantelpiece, and the priests would come round, even during the depression. And if there's not enough money in the little church box everyone had, he would just take the red money, and when the people said, well, how are we going to live? How are we going to stay, pay the rent? And he would just tell them that the mother church needed it more than they did. And out he'd go. And many people turned against the church in Britain during that time, you know, because of that fact.
Would you think that with this new world order, they're putting it together because the Dalai Lama is in it, and Prince Charles is in it, and, of course, Rome is in it, the Mormons are in it, Jehovah Witnesses are in it, and we have a whole list of all those that are in it, and of course also a list that are not in it, but the Mormons are on top of the list that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Mormons are, of course, a Masonic church.
Yes.
And people do not understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That is who they are. But when we look at the times that are here, because you and I, we have been talking to people, warning people, trying to get them to pull their heads out of the sand and to see the seriousness of what we are talking about at this moment in regard to their life and their survival, Alan.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we're living through the end of this part of the age. And they go by ages according to the grand zodiac, or the Platonic zodiac, as it's also called, which is just over 2,500 years, really. We're going through the latter phases of this, and they've said by themselves that in the mystery religion behind all of this, or within all of this, those who are unfit to come through will be not allowed to come through it. The next age will be called off. It's exactly the same as the teachings of Hinduism. They have the same thing about calling off those who are not allowed through. They call it waves of theosophy, the waves meaning the culminations of time and going on to the next wave. So this is all one and the same thing. And within the Catholic Church, from its inception, we've got to realize that most of the early popes especially were all of emperor bloodlines. They were emperors and popes. And what you had really was the start of a type of breeding program through the getting out of the accompanying mystery religions for the lower people. And when you join these, it's no different today. A first generation Freemason, if he's chosen to go higher, will be introduced to his wife by the Grand Master, and she will be maybe 3, 4, 5 generations Eastern Star. So she's a carrier of a superior gene, according to them, because of selective breeding. And he then will have a son with her. The second generation offspring Mason will go higher, but the third one can complete the round, as they call it. And as a breeding program, eugenics. Now you look at the Freemasons of the Mormon Church,
uh-huh.
and those in the Electi who have gone up into the elect go through exactly the same initiation rites with the Akronon as all the other Masons, same passwords and so on. And again, the Mormon Church is really a breeding program because the wives really are mated up by the elders of the church. And so they're carefully collecting genealogies. In fact, the largest collector over to North America, even though the people within don't understand, the elders understand that this is a selective breeding program. And we go into the statements of the guys like Charles Galton Darwin, who was a descendant of Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was already the product of an interbreeding program with one other family, and that was the Wedgwood family. He was about a fifth generation. Darwin married a Wedgwood family. His grandfather married a Wedgwood, his father married one, he married one, his wife died, and he married his mother's sister, all Wedgwoods. So all of the elite down through history that helped to shape history and alter our concepts of life were into eugenics breeding programs already, and they all belong to high Masonic societies. So the two go together, the interbreeding program and Freemasonry. Even Rosicrucianism, you see the same thing being taught over and over, initially hinted at, that you have to be very selective in mating up with someone. And then, of course, the child should have a special tuition from one of the masters, you see. So they're looking at a breeding program, and it's all to do with eugenics, to breed in what they claim are superior genes. Now, a good case to prove this is with Benjamin Franklin of the American Revolution.
Uh-huh.
Benjamin Franklin, it's a funny Masonic name. I mean, Ben means son of, you know. And, of course, Frank is a term you'll use even in medicine for blood. It's red, bright red blood, arterial blood. It's Frank blood. And so you have Jamin is a play on I am, in a sense. Red, and Lin means way, the red way. And their way is always red for revolution, you see.
Uh-huh.
So Benjamin Franklin has a Masonic name to begin with. They even give you that his father was a candle maker, an illuminist, you see. this is how it's put in your history books by Masons. And he was set off as an ambassador to France, but he also belonged to the London Hellfire Club, a noble order that had these strange orgies and parties and so on, strange rites. And Benjamin eventually was allowed, because he worked so hard for the great work, the reshaping or remaking of man himself. Benjamin was allowed to meet with the top prostitutes. See, all these Masons, these Masonic lodges, I don't people think you will realize this, up into the early 1900s, they had brothels attached to them, because the sexual generative powers had to be released. And they said if they were not having this for their wives, then they must release this. However, with the higher orders, the Hellfire Club in London, these were not ordinary prostitutes. They were specially selected females, the offspring of multi-generational special breeding. And so Benjamin was given the rare treat of meeting with Madame Bouvier. And Madame Bouvier, now that was to get offspring, her descendants, Madame Bouvier's descendants, there's two of them still in France today, but the one in America became Jacqueline Kennedy.
Uh-huh, that's right.
You see? So these people are all selective breeding products.
And of course, Jacqueline Kennedy and John F. Kennedy, they were also very much controlled and well, what can you say, Jesuits.
Yes, and so again, when we get back to their philosophy in the mystery religion, where they need to change society, you cannot have change without conflict. And so they go out into society and they create divisions. Then they give you the leaders for the sides, and that's what they've done down through the ages. Now, when Martin Luther came out with the Protestant, became the Protestant,
yeah,
side of things, he was a Catholic priest, remember?
Yeah, and this is what somebody said when I said, well, Martin Luther was a priest. No way, you don't. I said, yes, he was.
Yes, oh yeah. And he was called the by a bishop, and I think it was in Reims, and he was called up there and examined and let go. Now, in those days, they could burn anybody they wanted to, but they let this man go that had nailed all his treatise on the door and all the rest of it. And he was let go, of course, just because he was supposed to do what he was doing. He was given permission to create what seemed to be the opposite of the Catholic Church, to get conflict going.
Yeah.
And if you look at the coat of arms of Martin Luther, you'll see his family crest is the rose and cross, not the crucian.
Yeah.
I mean, so here we are with all the things in our face down through the ages. The Jesuits initially came out as an army, the army of Christ, basically. Built a military foundation by its founder,
yeah.
Ignatius Loyola, which means loyal fire starter, a name of fire. And before he was made the Black Pope, he was an Illuminist of the Knights Templar Spanish division, you might say. And they were called the Alumbrados, the Illumined Ones. That was the traditional Spanish Templars. So he was caught fighting the Catholic Church. He was eventually caught and given an audience to the Pope. And after they exchanged their little views and their battle plan, he became the Black Pope, fighting supposedly for the Catholic mm-hmm. Church. But in reality, to keep the divisions going that created by treating Protestantism.
Yeah, and at the moment, then they have Hans von Klovenbach.
Yeah.
And we know, of course, Pope Paul II, he was also a ritualistic beater. He beat himself at night. And then we have those others that are still beat themselves at night. And, you know, like, and their family members are not supposed to know that, you know.
That's the Opus Dei again.
Yeah.
And Opus Dei have different, again, a degreed system of order, you know. So they have the strict disciples at the top, and they're utterly strict with it. In fact, they're medieval strict, you might say, with themselves. There's an order beneath them, superiority, which is, I think they can become married, some of those ones. And then below them, there's a third order of priests. They tend to end up going into government positions in different countries. And then below that, there's another order, dissociates. And associates amongst the ordinary lay people. Some of them live in co-ops, in fact. Their own little areas of co-ops where they live together. They're there. And they create financial support for the church. And they don't have to be Catholic to be in the lower order, by the way. That's an interesting phenomenon.
That is really interesting because many people don't know that.
Yeah, you don't have to be. There's Protestants and Jews and different people at the bottom in that order. So you're talking there about the whipping thing, you know, how they would whip themselves. And that is one of their functions. And what they do to try and supposedly keep their mind off what comes naturally is they have a
he got a high from it.
Oh, they, yeah, they get a high, all right, yeah. But it's really pretty bloody awful, you know.
You know, if we didn't have a sense of humor, but this is, you know, when you say you got a high, all right, it's bloody awful.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
At the same time, we know that they proclaim they do that because they need to do that because it reminds them of the suffering of Christ. But if we go into that history, we should do that sometime. Pluck that one, that how that came into being a part too.